Hare Krishna. It's been a long time, and I'm feeling a little emotional seeing all my God brothers and God sisters that I haven't seen in such a long time, with the speak of Srila Prabhupada's Murti, Konitai, Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jagannath Paladev and Subhadra. I'm feeling very, very happy to be here. I think we'll skip the chanting. Is it okay? You tell me what to do. Yeah. But I have to say certain prayers before I speak, otherwise I can't speak. So you just have to bear with me, please. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanatimidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadhati Swabhadantikam Mukham Karurivachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shigarun Dinataranam Namashreshtam Manom Apisachi Putram Atrasurupam Rupam tasyagrajam urupurim maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivadamoho radhika madhavasam Prapto yasya patita kripiyo shigurun tandastosmi Vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shigurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarane Vanchikalpa Dadubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Antayam Adrlabala Hare Dasya Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayo Yat Paniyasu Yavasakandana Kandamulahai Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadi Nakaschana Parihare Pilajjame Kimbruve Purushottama Yuvatinam tata yuni yunam cha yavatau yata mano bidabite tadvam mano me ramatam twayi bhumau skalita padanam bhumyareva balambanam twayi jata paradanam twameva sharanam prabho Govinda balabe radhe pratye twamahasada tudiyam iti janatu govindomam toyasaha radhe vrindavanadishe karunamitavahini kripaya tavaparabja dasyam mayam pradiyatam. Before we hear something about the personality of Lord Balaram and his pastimes and service to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should always try to understand the ontological truths behind his identity, because Lord Balaram's pastimes are very intimate, especially those he performs in Vrindavan. To help us to avoid or to resist the temptation of thinking that his pastimes are ordinary like ours, of course we don't have pastimes, but that his activities are like ours, we have to be clear in our hearts, in our minds, which need purification from mundane propensities, mundane desires, mundane attributes. So all of the scriptures are structured like that. Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, there's so much detailed information about the different expansions of Krishna and his energies leading up to the 10th canto, in which we can hear his pastimes in his original form, all for the purpose of purifying us, giving us conviction of Krishna's supreme position, of Lord Balaram's supreme position, so that we'll never, even in our dreams, think of trying to imitate his confidential pastimes as a human being on this earth, and the original rasas that are prominent in Goloka Vrindavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead exists in three basic categories of forms: Swayam Rupa, Tadikatma Rupa, and Avesha Rupa. His Swayam Rupa form is the original form, the source of all other forms. That form of Krishna does not depend on any other form. And even though Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, he's always serving Krishna. He's the original servant of Krishna. At the same time, he is a direct expansion of Krishna, the first expansion of Krishna. And when we say first, we don't mean in terms of time and space. Those of us who are conditioned by time and space, when we hear the word when, we automatically put it into perspective, what's first and what's next, what's last. But these expansions are eternal. There have never been a time when they did not exist. So when we hear about these things, the ontological truths about Krishna and his expansions, we should always bear in mind that it's not in terms of time that these explanations are there. It's in terms of relationships. Krishna's form doesn't depend on any other form, but at the same time, sometimes he does appear to depend on Balaram in so many ways. When Krishna goes out every morning from the village, from Nandagram, into the forests of Vrindavan to herd the cows and calves along with Balaram, his elder brother, and all the other cowherd boyfriends. Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they're so attached to Krishna and to Balaram and Rohini also, that they follow him. And the tie of love that Madhya Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and Rohini have for Krishna and Balaram especially, all the residents of Vrindavan, no matter how much they love their own children, their own friends, their own family members, they love Krishna most, everyone. And therefore, from time to time, Krishna arranges to give himself to them in that way so that they can taste his relationship according to their desires. And this is actually the truth of why there are unlimited expansions of Krishna, which we'll get into later when we discuss more about Lord Balaram's service to Krishna. Wherever Krishna goes, Lord Balaram goes. Wherever Krishna goes, Srimati Radharani goes. Wherever Krishna goes, Nanda and Maharaj, Yashoda, and certain confidential associates of Krishna go with him to assist him in his pastimes. Therefore, there are unlimited expansions of Krishna, and they are there in response to the desires of the souls, of the individual souls spread all over the material and spiritual worlds who desire to serve Krishna in particular ways, in particular moods, with particular pastimes. All of this is going on due to the mercy of Lord Balaram. The basic principles, the basic energies which form the spiritual world, Sandini, Sambit, Ladini, eternity, knowledge, and transcendental bliss, of them, everything rests on the Sandini potency, and Balaram is the presiding deity of that Sandini potency. So even the spiritual world is resting on Balaram, and all of this is going on so that Krishna can remain completely free of any responsibility and simply enjoy. Krishna is therefore called the supreme enjoyer. And Lord Balaram is the supreme servant of Krishna because he provides the atmospheres, both in the material and in the spiritual worlds, so that Krishna can go and enjoy wherever he wants, whenever he wants, in whatever way he wants. Technically, Krishna is Swayam Rupa, his original form, and Balaram is called Prabhavaibhav. The Swayamrupa is exhibited in two forms. The cowherd voice in Vrindavan, Swayamrupa, and the Swayam Prakash, the expansions of Krishna. When he dances with the gopis, for instance, or sometimes when he plays with the cowherd boys, he'll exhibit multiple forms and be with them all at the same time. Or he'll, by his mystic power, he'll allow them to be able to see him in front of them as if he's with every one of them individually, exchanging, loving exchanges. Balaram is Vaibhav Prakash. There's Prabhav and Vaibhav. And the Vaibhav expansions of Krishna are, they differ slightly in form and in mood. So Balaram is the first of those Vaibhav expansions. He's the Vaibhav Prakash of Krishna. He's Krishna. He has the same form as Krishna. He looks just like Krishna, but his color is a little different. It's whitish, whereas Krishna is like a newly grown rain cloud. And also there's a difference in mood. Sometimes, in order to show that even though Lord Balaram is the elder brother and therefore the superior in the village relationship, and Krishna always defers to Balaram, as I was saying before, when Yashoda and Nandaram go with Krishna when he's going out to the forest, they won't let him go. And when Krishna finally convinces him, Yashoda is very careful to instruct Lord Balaram, don't let him out of your sight. You have to protect him. He's your younger brother. You have to. Then he tells Sudama, Sridhama, and Subal, and all the other coward boys where to stand all around Krishna, so they'll be protected from any kind of element that may threaten Krishna. This is pure transcendental parental love and love of the son for the parents. We can't imitate Krishna in any way, but we are meant to learn by hearing and by appreciating and relishing these pastimes how to deal with different situations and different persons and different relationships. But sometimes Krishna wants to make the point. One time, Srila Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan and Giriraj Maharaj and Brahmananda and some others were there. And this was during the celebration for the opening of Krishna Balaram Mandir and the installation of Krishna Balaram, Shishi Gorni Thai and Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan. And he asked this question, who's more powerful, Krishna or Balaram? And he looked at Brahmananda, and Brahmananda said, well, Balaram is. He's the source of all strength, right? Prabhupada kind of wrinkled his nose. He looked at Giriraj Maharaj, and he said, what do you think? Giriraj Maharaj says, Krishna's stronger. He said, really? But everyone else thinks Balaram's stronger. Why is that? He said, because look at how Balaram is leaning on Krishna. You see? So this is an important point because sometimes, although Krishna in his village relationship defers to Balaram and sometimes serves Lord Balaram, but sometimes he reveals that he knows it all and sometimes Balaram doesn't even know what he knows. When Lord Brahma became a little confused about who Krishna was. You know, this little cowherd boy being worshipped by, like, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Krishna does know that, and all of his servants know that also, because he's always doing something that no one else could do except for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they even have dialogue admitting it sometimes. But their love is so sweet and so powerful that it covers that. This is the nature of Braj. The love is so spontaneous and pure and powerful that it covers this knowledge that Krishna is God, that Krishna is actually the Supreme Lord, and they all should be worshipping Him. Rather, they all love Him more than anyone else. They don't think of Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna, every once in a while, in order to set the record straight, He'll do something to make it clear, even to Lord Balaram, that He's the Supreme Knower. So when Brahma stole all the cows and calves and cowherd boys and put them in the cave, you know, and for a whole year, then Krishna expanded Himself into all the boys, into all the calves, and maintained those forms. It was actually Krishna. It was Krishna in those forms for a whole year, interacting with all of the different personalities in Vrindavan. But Balaram didn't have a clue. He didn't understand what was going on. Only at the end, at the very end of that year, when Balaram noticed that the cows had such special affection for these calves, more than they normally show, and the mothers and fathers also had more affection for their children than they'd ever shown before. And finally, Balaram put two and two together and realized, oh, this is not normal. This must be some trick that Krishna's doing. He's doing something. And then finally Krishna revealed what the situation was. Not only that, but when Brahma came back and saw that Krishna was still with the cowherd boys and with the calves, he became bewildered. And Krishna, in front of his eyes, then turned each one of those forms into Vishnu forms, form Vishnu forms. And then he showed all the universes. Everything was there. It was a special exhibition of the universal form in Vrindavan, created by Krishna. And where was Balaram in all that? Balaram is the expansion of Krishna that creates the universes. You know, Lord Vishnu, the three forms of Vishnu that have something to do with the creation and maintenance of this material world are all expansions of Lord Balaram. So he has everything to do with those things. And yet Krishna was manifesting all those things in Vrindavan without the direct intervention of Balaram. He does this sometimes. You know, all of the expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are contained within Krishna's body, even Lord Balaram, eternally. And they are eternally outside at the same time. Therefore, anyone who thinks that they can understand Krishna is just playing the fools. It's not possible. It's only possible if we submit ourselves in loving service unconditionally and unflinchingly, that we can understand a little something of these things. So that's more or less the, you know, ontological, you know, explanation of who Lord Balaram is in relationship with Krishna. Now I want to share with you One of the reasons why I haven't been here in such a long time is I've been editing books. And one of the books that I helped edit was the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And also, recently I helped edit a book for His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj, which describes these things. And I want to read some samples of those things, but before I do, I want to read from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada's classic summary of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which all these things are described in the sweetest way. This is in relationship to the killing of Dhenukasura. You know, Krishna had already established himself and gotten a reputation for being so great because he's killed a lot of demons. But up till this point, Balaram hadn't killed any demons. So the cowherd boys, they were ribbing Balaram about this, and they were saying, "Hey, you know, Krishna, you and Krishna are not different. You're the older brother of Krishna, and yet he's got this reputation for killing so many demons. When are you going to kill a demon?" So, as a result of that ribbing, Balaram killed Dhenukasura. Accompanied by the cowherd boys and Balaram, Krishna brought forward the cows and played on his flute as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, which is full of flowers, vegetation, and pasturing grass. The Vrindavan forest was as sanctified as the clear mind of a devotee and was full of bees, flowers, and fruits. There were chirping birds and clear water lakes with waters that could relieve one of all fatigue. Sweet-smelling breezes blew always, refreshing the mind and body. Krishna, with his friends and Balaram, entered the forest and, seeing the favorable situation, desired to enjoy the atmosphere to its fullest extent. Krishna saw all the trees overloaded with fruits and fresh twigs, bending down to touch the ground as if to welcome him by touching his lotus feet. He was very much pleased by the behavior of the trees, fruits, and flowers, and he began to smile, realizing their desires. Krishna then spoke to his elder brother Balaram as follows: "My dear brother, you are superior to all of us, and your lotus feet are worshipped by the demigods. Just see how these trees, full with fruits and flowers, have bent down to worship your lotus feet. It appears that they are trying to get out of the darkness that has obliged them to accept the form of trees. Actually, the trees born in the land of Vrindavan are not ordinary living entities. Having held the impersonal point of view in their past lives, they have been put into this stationary condition of life, but now they have the opportunity of seeing you in Vrindavan, and they are praying for further advancement in spiritual life through your personal association. Generally, living entities in the mode of darkness obtain the bodies of trees. The impersonalist philosophers are in that darkness, but they eradicate it by taking full advantage of your presence. I think the drones that are buzzing all around you must have been your devotees in their past lives. They cannot leave your company because no one can be a better, more affectionate master than you. You are the supreme and original personality of Godhead, and the drones are just trying to spread your glories by chanting at every moment. I think some of them must be great sages, devotees of your lordship, And they are disguising themselves in the form of drones because they are unable to give up your company, even for a moment. My dear brother, you are the supreme worshipable Godhead. Just see how the peacocks are dancing before you in great ecstasy. The deer, whose behavior is just like that of the gopis, are welcoming you with the same affection. And the cuckoos, who are residing in this forest, are welcoming you with their joyful, sweet cries. Because they consider that your appearance in their home is so auspicious. Even though they are trees and animals, these residents of Vrindavan are glorifying you. They are preparing to welcome you to the best of their ability, as is the practice of great souls in receiving another great soul at home. As for the land, it is so pious and fortunate because the footprints of your lotus feet are marking its body. So we should learn how to treat one another and how to treat our environment by the example given by Krishna and Balaram. In this way, Lord Krishna and Balaram began to enjoy the residents of Vrindavan to their full satisfaction as they herded the cows and calves on the bank of the Jamuna. In some places, Krishna and Balaram were accompanied by their friends. The boys were singing, imitating the humming sound of the drones and accompanying Krishna and Balaram, who were garlanded with forest flowers. While walking, the boys sometimes imitated the quacking sounds of the swans in the lakes. Or when they saw the peacocks dancing, they imitated them before Krishna. Krishna also moved his neck, imitating the dancing and making his friends laugh. The cows taken care of by Krishna had different names, and Krishna would call them with love. After hearing Krishna calling the cows would immediately respond by mooing. And the boys would enjoy this exchange to their heart's content. They would all imitate the sound vibrations made by the different kinds of birds, especially the chakoras, peacocks, cuckoos, and bhardwajas. So Krishna and Balaram had these incredible pastimes. It's already 5 to 9, and I saw somebody go like this, but I get the impression that I can't really go on forever. So I'm in a little bit of a quandary. I don't know what to do. You tell me what to do. You just tell me what to do. Servitor, I'm your servant. You just tell me when to stop. Okay? Because I lose track. I'm going to lose track. I promise. And I can go on and on and on. So you just tell me when to stop. And you won't hurt my feelings, honest. Because that's what I want to do. I want to stop when I should stop. This is what we really, really need to become attached to hearing. Because this is where we are going, or where we should want to go. And by hearing these wonderful pastimes in the company of the devotees, our desire, our yearning, our hankering to go there and to be able to play freely without the burden of the material energy that we have to lug around and struggle to accumulate, even when we put on these wonderful festivals, we have to kind of struggle, you know, to get all this together, to do it. This is how we become purified, by doing this duty. In Vrindavan, you know, just say you're a pujari, and you've gotten right to the point where the garland needs to go on the deity just before the, you know, curtains are open, and you forgot the garland. It's freak out time, and panic, right? The pujari is just panic. The head pujari is going, come on, hurry, come on, hurry. In Vrindavan, what you can do is you just turn to the nearest tree, and a full, most beautiful garland, fully made, will be there in your hand, and you give it to Krishna. Ah, Hare Krishna. Why shouldn't we want to go there? Why do we want to stay here and try to make some permanent arrangement by our intellectual and expert arrangements? Ain't happening. The death rate is 100%. 'm going to now I'm reading from Navabraja Mahima, a book that Shivaram Maharaj just finished, and now is in production. And when you hear this, if it's nice enough, you can also get this book if you'd like. You know, I'm a book distributor, what can I do? Right? Hare Krishna. One day around noon, the cowherd boys arrived in Madhuvan from their journey through Braj's forests. Driving their cows and calves in front, they came to a tree. Oh my gosh, I just pushed the wrong button and I got off the... Forgive me, please. I had this written down, what page it is. Hare Krishna. I think I got it. Please bear with me. Have patience with me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I got it. Krishna called his cows to a sandy shoal by calling out, Niri, Niri. He directed them to drink by saying, Choo, Choo. And then he and his friends retired to the shade of a peaceful flowering grove. Seated upon a golden throne, Balaram to his right, Krishna drank the fragrant honey that servant boys had collected. He encouraged his brother and friends to join him, which they were already eager to do. As usual, Lord Balaram drank too much. Transcendentally intoxicated, his eyes rolled, his lips quivered, and his limbs shook. He appeared like a silver mountain trembling in an earthquake. The cowherd boys, delightfully entertained by Balaram's bewildered state, especially his erratic behavior and incoherent speech, laughed at him cheerfully and affectionately cut jokes at his expense. The jolly atmosphere induced others, including Sridhama, Subal, Ujwala, and Madhu Mangal, to drink themselves to sleep. The boys then rested for some time, using each other's limbs as pillows. Krishna soon woke up and called out, Friends, let's play ball. Hearing this, the gopas all eagerly jumped to their feet. In no time, they were running here and there, throwing a ball at one another. The boys hit by the ball became the prisoners of the thrower. Calls of, over here, and hit him, filled the air. Lord Balaram's aim proved to be unmatched even from great distances. In this way, the divine brothers and their rowdy friends immersed themselves in the ecstasy of boyhood sports and loving exchanges, further sweetening the atmosphere of delightful Madhuvan forest. Marukund, also known as Krishnakund, sits in the area that was once the ancient city of Maholi, the capital of Maruvan, and residence of the demon Madhu and his son Lavana. It is said that Maholi, the original state of Mathura, gradually fell into disrepair as Mathura developed in its present location. It was from Maholi that surrounding forests received the name Maruvan. Two temples, one of Lord Balaram, the other of Shatrughna, rest on opposite banks of Marukund, commemorating the pastimes that these lords enacted in Maholi and surrounding Maruvan. During Lord Balaram's two-month visit to Vrindavan from Dwarka, he once met the Brajvasis on the banks of Marukund to relieve the distress they felt in separation from Krishna. As Lord Balaram narrated Sri Krishna's adventures to the Brajvasis, he became so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna that his whitish body turned cloud blue, astonishing his audience. Consequently, the deity of Balaram at Marukund is blackish. We must surrender to the original spiritual master, Lord Balaram, the embodiment of Guru Tattva, for a successful pilgrimage, and for that matter, the success of any devotional service. Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master. We get the strength, the empowerment to act in that capacity from Lord Balaram. Scriptures say that without the favor of Lord Balaram, no one can attain success in Krishna consciousness. Nayam atma balahinena labhyaha. We must therefore always try to please Lord Balaram. Shri Balaram ki. We please the Lord by pleasing His representatives, our own spiritual masters, who are themselves pleased and fully satisfied when we follow their orders to practice and to spread Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. It's unlimited. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on. I think we got the gist. So on this special day, and especially on the day leading up to Rath Yatra, we should pray for the empowerment of Lord Balaram, to be able to please Krishna, because that's what we're trying to do, all of us. Even Lord Balaram, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to please Krishna. You can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita about all the different ways that Lord Balaram pleases Krishna and serves Krishna. He expands himself as Ananta Dev, as the three Pushavatars. You know, he does all these things in order to allow Krishna to be free, hands-free. You know, it's like as if you had as a temple president somebody who would just do everything and all you could do is walk around and go, Jai, Haribo, and relish it all. So he's very special to us. Everything that you see is a transformation of his energy. We are completely dependent on Lord Balaram for everything. So let us try to remember that and awaken our love for Lord Balaram, and by his example, try to absorb ourselves in fully, fully trying to please Krishna with all of our hearts, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. And then we will relish devotional service in a way that will be contagious. This is how we spread Krishna consciousness, by becoming ourselves blissful in Krishna consciousness. That's what spreads Krishna consciousness. You can't give what you don't have. Prabhupada came, he was so full of love for Krishna that it just exploded. It was contagious, isn't it? Anytime you're around him, you just became uplifted and felt wonderful feelings that you'd never felt before. This is our duty, given to us by Lord Chaitanya. He gave the order to every living being in the universe to take this Krishna consciousness and spread it. Well, you can't do that without the mercy of Lord Balaram. Hare Krishna. Shri Balaram ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Samabeda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees.
Couldn't even scratch the surface.